Got 2 days left in this meeting to go. I'm glad to, really am glad to see all of you here this evening, and Brother Jeter here with us this evening, and we don't have no biscuits this evening, Brother Jeter, but you come to the house and I'll work it out for you. We've had a good week so far. We're on our third night. We've had an opportunity to study God's Word and look at some serious matters in the world of religion and what it takes in different areas to be a Christian and how Christians are supposed to act and the type of faith that we're supposed to have and the trust and belief and the desire to worship God. The first night we took a look at faith in Scripture and studied that to see if we trusted in the Word of God that He provided us with and if we're prepared to follow that Word. Last night we took a look at how you worship God. Why do you make the choices you make? How you worship God? And I hope we remember the learning lesson from that. Was the reason that you chose to worship God and the way you chose to worship God in accordance with God's will? Was the conclusion we had on that sermon last night. But tonight, I have put this sermon here together that I hope that we can certainly gain something from. There's certainly a great amount of fear that we should walk away with in a lot of respects from this sermon here. But at the same time, we're going to get to walk away with a lot of blessings and a lot of uplifted thought process from this lesson as well. Escaping the damnation of hell. I believe that's what all of us are sitting in here for this evening. Don't we all want to go to heaven? Don't we want to be able to escape going to hell?
Amen.
Do we really understand what hell's like? Are we in a reality to where we can look into our minds and picture what, even remotely close to what hell would be like? Have you ever seen the History Channel? I love the History Channel. Love watching them old war historical documents and looking back in World War I and World War II and watching them on Vietnam to see the trials that them men went through in them times for reasons that should not have never happened. Period. People had loved God, we'd never went in these wars. They would have loved their brothers, they would have loved their neighbors. But they're saying, you can see in the bunkers, when the Germans would be inside the bunkers, and here you'd see the U.S. military come through with these big flamethrowers, and they would stick the flamethrowers through the window and pull the trigger, and you see flames come out of everything, the doors open up, and you see men running out on fire. You see, fortunately for them at that time, they was going to get to die. That was going to kill them in a physical death that they were in. Could you imagine what type of pain and suffering they had to went through for whatever minutes they got to live after that? Can you picture that in your minds? Can you sleep well at night knowing that there's that type of pain out there? What about the spiritual? That's what this topic's about. If you end up in hell, there's fire there, and you're going to burn, and you're not going to die. It's going to be an eternal thing, eternal pain, eternal punishment. You can't escape it. You can't change it after it's there. When judgment day comes, it is said. Whatever your actions were, the words that have proceeded out of your mouth, that is it. God's going to judge that accordingly. I know a lot of people in this world want to paint a Hollywood picture on what the end of time is going to be. And they call this thought process premillennialism, saying that Jesus Christ is going to come back 2 times, 3 times, 4 times, and a lot of people's going to have opportunities to repent and things of that nature. I surely hope you don't fall for that type of doctrine. I hope you don't trust your soul to a man saying that Jesus Christ is coming back 2, 3, 4 times and giving you the opportunity to repent, why would you take that kind of chance? Number one, the Scriptures does not say that. Why would people want to play with fire and pardon upon? Why do people want to dance with the devil like they do and call themselves a Christian in the same breath? I don't know. But how can we escape hell? That's the question that I plan to answer for you tonight. And I hope that we can learn something from this and we can become better Christians from this. If you have your Bibles, turn open for me for just a moment to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. Jesus, here in Matthew chapter 23, was dealing with the scribes and Pharisees. Now, I want to make a comparison to the scribes and Pharisees with the men of today. The scribes and Pharisees believed in God. They worshiped God. They were under the old law, and they had perverted the old law that God had given them. And I can prove this because God had to send His Son, Jesus Christ. For the very fact that Jesus was here is my proof that man had perverted the law that God had given him. But I want you to listen to what Jesus said about these men. Look at verse 33 in chapter 23. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Now that's the words from our Savior, the one that went to the cross for us. That's Him. He's name calling here. Ye vipers, ye generation of serpents. There's a lesson to be learned here from this Scripture. Do we understand? Is it hard to understand what He's trying to say to them? The way you are living your life, you are not going to be able to escape hell. The way you're living your life, you're putting yourself to certain death. That's what they're doing. These scribes and Pharisees, that's exactly what they were doing. Back in verse 27, Jesus said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You say you love God out of one side of your mouth, but out of the other side of your mouth, you're saying something entirely different." That's the way it is today. I had said earlier this week that America had gotten lazy. America has, we was talking about air conditioning. People have come in from the jobs and now have jobs in air conditioning. When we go back into the heat, we can't tolerate it too well. I'm living proof of that. I don't do so well no more in the heat like I used to. But that's the same way as today with America. We've been free for so long without people molesting our rights, without people trying to take things from us. Now, certainly we've had some terrorists to come over here and do some bad things and bomb us in some ways and kill people. But it ain't nothing like what they had to deal with back in the beginning of the church when it was first built. In Nero's reign, it was nothing like when the Catholics had first started their reign and started the Christian crusades and murdering innocent people in God's name for power. But yet they said they loved God. Now certainly things have changed since then, and they don't run around and murder people like that no more. And we're certainly thankful for that. But it was the same thing. How can you say you love God but not ever show it? How can you say you love God but not ever bother doing the will of God? How can you say you love God and never flip open your book and study it to see exactly what God had to say? You must do. There's two pieces of advice I'm going to give you here at the beginning. I'm going to give you one at the end. I'm going to leave you with a piece of advice. And I hope that if you have your Bibles open, turn Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. This is how you escape the damnation of hell. If you want to escape it, this is how you can do it. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And if you have a highlighter, if you have a photographic memory, if you have something to help you register this verse in your mind the rest of your life, I suggest you do so. Listen to what Paul said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is the best advice in the world that you could take. You have got to change. The world says it's okay to get out and dance sexy, because that's the fad. That's the end thing. The world says that homosexuality is okay. Same-sex marriage is okay. That's what the world says. There's religious bodies changing every day, saying it is now acceptable. You can come worship with us if you're a homosexual, a practicing homosexual. Say it's okay. Come worship with us. The world says it's okay to drink and drive as long as you don't pass a certain amount. The world says a lot of things. But I'm here to tell you, brothers, sisters, friends, if you follow the world, you're certainly following death. A death that you are going to be so, so sorry that you fall into. But that advice, and be not conformed to this world. Don't act like this world. Study God's Word. Know what it is He expects of you. And be proud to be a Christian. Don't be ashamed. And constantly wake up every day. Every day. Saying your prayer to God. Praying that you can do His will that day. And set out to do it. I had seen a sign a month or so back that was on a religious building. And I liked the sign they had out front. It said, "Can you not sleep at night? Count your blessings." That was a good saying. I like that. That's something we as Christians, we don't do enough. We don't count our blessings enough. I wish I had time to go through all the blessings that we've been given. Unfortunately, I don't have time to. But I've got three blessings in particular that I want to talk about that's going to help you escape the damnation of hell. It's going to help you change your life from being people like the scribes and Pharisees were, which Jesus called hypocrites, to a God-fearing Christian, obedient. Our first blessing is God the Father. The first blessing is God the Father. He gave us His Son. He created us after the world treated Him. I want to talk to you about John chapter 3 and verse 16 for just a moment. I want us to understand the mentality behind this scripture. Much of the world runs around with this scripture and says, "God loves you, John 3:16. God loves you, John 3:16. He loves you, brother. He loves you. He loves you, brother. He loves you." If you've ever looked at that scripture, the English language does not have the ability to convey the type of love that was being spoke about there. There's no stronger word in the English language than love. Right? But in Koine Greek, when this was actually written, there was two different words for two different types of love. One of them was called phileo love in Greek terminology, which represented brotherly love. See, this is what we all have here. Brother George, I phileo you. I love you. You're my brother. Brother Emerson, I phileo you. Saddam Hussein, I agapao you. See, that's a different type of love. Saddam Hussein's not my brother in Christ, because he has not obeyed the gospel. All right? But I love him nonetheless, intellectually, because my God said to do it. We don't count people as our enemies no more. They're our friends. They're our neighbors. You see, that's the only way we can escape the damnation of hell. If you count people as your enemies and you constantly treat them as your enemy, now you have to draw lines, no doubt. But the way your attitude is towards somebody, if you treat them as an enemy, if you're sore at them, you're not going to win that person as a brother. You're not going to do it. If you're being ugly, if you're a big meanie with a terrible attitude, people are afraid to approach you, you are casting a stumbling block in front of someone. And God forbids that. You're not allowed to cast stumbling blocks in front of no one. That's forbidden for a Christian to do. Can't do it. You got to be love. Now sometimes we have to step forward. We have to act like soldiers when false doctrines are being taught. These things have to be brought forward. But when they are, they're brought forward with meekness and patience. That's the Christian way. You want to escape the damnation of hell? Don't be a big meanie. John chapter 3 and verse 16 said, "For God so loved the world." That word love was agapao type love. The intellectual, the highest form of love. This love is the love that you show someone. This is the love that God showed the world. Right? God just said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 by the Holy Spirit, He said, "Do not be conformed to this world." But God, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Now let me put this in more of a reality type terms for you. Even though this world hated God, He sent His Son to die for them anyhow. There's love for you. Knowing that people hated you and they showed it every day because they wouldn't bother listening what you had to say, wouldn't bother acting the way you're supposed to act. That's the kind of love God showed us. We didn't deserve any of that. Not one ounce of it. That's one blessing. The second blessing that we should count is God the Son. Jesus Christ, our Savior. In John chapter 10 and verse 11, it says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." He was a good shepherd to us. He gave His life for us. We're the sheep. That's what He done for us. In John chapter, still in chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, He says, "Therefore doth My Father love Me, because I lay down My life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from Me, but I lay it down of Myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment I received of My Father," a good, obedient Son. God the Father commanded that He go to His death on that cross. And we should be so thankful and count that as a blessing because He was the perfect Son. He done what His Father told Him to do. I wish I could have been that strong. I can think back in my childhood and remember many a times that my father told me to do something. I didn't work out too well. It didn't get done. And he didn't ask me to go die for the world that hated me. He maybe just went and asked me to get the tackle box out of the building or something. Simple chores. See, we take these things for granted. I'm going to tell you now, you won't take them for granted on Judgment Day. And that's a fact. All these things that I'm saying this evening, all these things I've said earlier this week, and the things that I'm going to say the rest of this week, you will not take it for granted on Judgment Day. Nor will the rest of the world. There's the third blessing I told you about. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit. This was our third blessing. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. He were a son, yet learned he obedience. I'm sorry. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. I got ahead of myself. Romans chapter 1 verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Do you know what this says? The Word. Do we remember where the Word came from? The Word is the power of salvation. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, he says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So we have our third blessing here that we can be thankful for. The Holy Ghost in Him bringing the Word of God to us. And right here it is. In these words contains what it will take for you to escape the damnation of hell. See, that's our third blessing. Do we understand that? Do we understand the power that's contained inside this book? The words inside this book is the power of God. The words inside this book is God, given to us by the inspiration when He breathed it into existence. Now, there's three blessings for us to think about. We're thankful that God the Father sent His Son to us. We're thankful that Jesus Christ, our Savior, went to that cross, endured what He endured, and died the death He died for us. And then we're thankful that the Holy Ghost done what He did by bringing God's Word to Him, to us. Now we have all the information we need to get to heaven. Now, what are we going to do with it? Two points I want to bring to light here. Number one, we got to obey the gospel. Point number one, you got to obey the gospel. Listen to this. Hebrews chapter 5, 8 and 9. Now I'm there. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Right? Salvation was not offered to people that do not obey Him. He said, you must obey Him. In Revelations chapter 22 and verse 14, blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Blessed are the ones that are obeying Him, the ones that keep His commandments. Now listen to Acts chapter 2 and verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. You must obey him. This generation, the generation that he was in then, and the generation that we're in now is a generation that does not do a very good job of obeying the gospel. Now let's take a look for a moment and see what's going to happen to those who fail to obey the gospel. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Could you imagine standing in front of God today? Because judgment day can happen today. It can. We don't know when it's going to take place. It could happen today. So today, there's a possibility that you can be standing in front of God and He's going to cast such a vengeance on you, such a punishment on you, that He's going to put you out from in front of Him into everlasting destruction. That could happen today. It's a reality today. But yet the world says, let's go have fun. Let's play. Let's party. Because that's the American way. We got the freedom, the right to do it, so let's go do it. And that's what the world says. that's certainly not what God says. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first began at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" In that scripture there, in the Word of God that the Holy Ghost provided us with, He says, if the righteous are scarcely saved. Did you see that word there in 1 Peter chapter 4? Look at that with me. Turn with me a moment. I want you to see this reality here, because this is another misconception that the world has. When they say, do you think God will actually destroy everybody in the world? And then I have to say unto them, yes, I really do think He'd do it if you don't obey. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17-18. Let's look at this with me as I read it again. "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first began at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" Do you see that word scarcely there? That means it's so hard for the righteous to even make it. The righteous are the ones that obeyed the will of the Father. That's who the righteous were. Now the unrighteous, do you see how much harder it's going to be for them to enter into the kingdom of heaven? And how much easier it is for them to not escape damnation of hell? Because they were the hypocrites. Or they just didn't believe at all. Another way to escape the damnation of hell. And I didn't want to leave here this evening without making this point, so I'll go ahead and start concluding on these. I touched base on it very briefly earlier, but I want to go in a little bit more depth on it. Matthew chapter 22, verse 39. We are to love our brethren. "And the second is like unto it, that shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Love your neighbor as yourself. I had used a description one time, an example for an illustration that said, have you ever had a neighbor that just, no matter what, no matter how hard you tried to please your neighbor, they would always do something just to irritate you? Every morning when you peep out the window after the garbage truck's done run and your garbage can sitting there, you see your neighbor go out there and give you one of these and kick your trash can over and go back in this house just to irritate you. Maybe he mows your yard into your yard too far. Or maybe he lets his grass grow up really high and don't do anything about his at all. It makes the whole neighborhood look bad. You see, there's all kinds of examples here that we can use. But a Christian will not let that man get to him. That Christian will perceive that man or woman. Women are capable of such things. Man is to perceive that person as their self, is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 39. Treat that person the way you want to be treated. If they're making a mistake, if they're doing something wrong, you approach them and you deal with them in a manner that you would want to be dealt with. Christians today in the Lord's church are some of the greatest failures of this concept. And that's a sad truth. I understand the denominational world missing this one. I understand the unbelievers, period, missing this one, but not people in the Lord's church. We forget that we're supposed to treat our brothers. We forget that we're supposed to treat our neighbors as ourselves. Nobody likes to be talked bad to. Nobody likes bad things being said to them. But as a Christian, when this happens, we have a responsibility. We got to be the bigger man or bigger woman. It's hard to do sometimes, I know. But here's the reality of this conversation that I'm having now. You must learn it to escape the damnation of hell. That's a true reality. Lastly, love God completely. We're going to back up just a little bit. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 28. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit the eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. When you sit back and meditate on that one statement, and you realize how much it speaks volumes to you, you'll live. You won't have no problem living whatsoever. Because when you meditate on that and that becomes a reality to you, and you can feel the Word of God and you love God that much, you will spend every day of your life flipping this book open and finding out what God has to say to you. Finding out how you need to raise your children. Finding out how you need to act at work. Finding out how you need to act in worship service. You see, that's how you're going to escape the damnation of hell. If you love God, like this lawyer just repeated back to Jesus, if you love Him like that, you're going to find out what He has to say. You can't have faith without the Word of God. It's impossible. You've got to hear what He has to say. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 confirms that. When he said, So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing cometh by the Word of God. I told you I was going to leave you this evening with one last piece of advice. Brother Darrell is fixing to lead us in a song. It says, Are you washed? It says, Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? You see, there's a reason why those scriptures, why those words are contained there. Luke chapter 16, verses 19. Excuse me. Jude chapter 23. And others save with fear, pulling them out of fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. That's a Christian attitude. That's what will prevent you from hell. That's how you'll escape it. It will make you absolutely sick at your stomach to think that you just willfully committed a sin. See, when you love God, it'll make you sick knowing that you just hurt your brother. It will make you sick knowing that you just laid up at home and didn't bother coming to worship service. It will make you sick knowing you hollered at someone. It will make you sick with you knowing that you just hummed during worship service when God commanded you to sing. That's how you escape the damnation of hell. If you love God that much, that's the way it's going to work for you. That's how you get to heaven. And that's how you escape hell. I hope we understand and at least learn something about this tonight. And maybe we've had a reality check tonight. And I hope we understand that our children, and I think this is something a lot of parents forget too often. The accountability age of children is somewhere around 12 years old, give or take a little bit. Every child matures a little more, a little faster, a little slower. Good faithful brethren are good character or have a good ability about judging when a child understands what's going on. But that's about the age it is. There's not many children that run around this world about that age that can tell you anything about God. They can't quote the first scripture. If you say the plan of salvation, they say, What? But they can tell you every sports figure, every teen idol there is out there by name, address, email, and phone number. But they can't tell you nothing about the Word of God. They can't tell you how proud they are to be a child of God. They're ignorant. Tuesday night I said I was real good at stepping on toes. I'm fixing to step on some toes. Because the reason our children are ignorant is the parents' fault. It starts at home. Do you want to be that kind of stumbling block for your child? I hope not. And I hope none of us are here tonight. But just in case you have been, and you have been baptized into Christ, and you have made a mistake, and you have wandered away from the family, and maybe you have crossed some of these borders that I've talked about this evening, and you realize that you're not as good with God, and your relationship's not as strong with Him as you once thought it was, and you want to build that up, and you realize you've been a willful sinner, and you want to take care of that this evening, we got big open arms ready to accept you to come forward and forgive anything you've done. There's no sin too great. No sin too great. Murders, rapists, those things are heinous sins, no doubt. But there's no sin too great but one sin. And that's blaspheming the Holy Ghost. That's not accepting the Word. The Holy Ghost brought the Word. It's here for you. If you've never been baptized, you're going to have to be baptized to escape the damnation of hell. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized." That's two things that's got to take place in just that one scripture alone. Now we know in John chapter 3 and verse 16, he said you had to believe. And I hope that you understand the word believe there means something more than acknowledgement. See, yeah, Jesus, yeah, Him. What about Him? Do you know what His Word is? Do you understand that Jesus Himself said that you had to be baptized? In Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, He said there has to be a confession by mouth made. Sister Becky understood this last night. And she obeyed the gospel and she was baptized. And we had a new sister in Christ made last night. And we were so thrilled and so happy to see that. I hope that this evening that if anything has been taken out of place in your life and you need it fixed, maybe you just have been beat down by the devil and you've been fighting him back and you just need the prayers for strength of the congregation. We're here for that too. We're here to help you do anything we can without compromising God's Word to help your relationship stay strong with Him. So if anything at all, if your garments are not spotless, take care of it now as we stand and as we sing.
Amen.